Welcome back, listeners, to Sandman Stories Presents, a folklore podcast where I read you to sleep or until the next story. I'm your host, Dustin. Today we have a final installation of the Ecuadorian ghost stories, recorded by Mario Conde. It is also the last episode of this year's Halloween Tales. The story today is The Devil Comes for Vico, in which we hear the story of Vico's life and how getting what you want right now might not be so good for the rest of your life. Okay, let's begin. The Devil Comes for Vico. Don Vico was the richest man in Huambalo. He had several houses and many fields full of corn, potatoes, and onions. He had vast pastures where herds of horses, sheep, and dairy cows grazed. He was the owner of the El Pingüe Hills, where the poor people would go to get firewood and hay in exchange for a day of work on his land. His personal home, the only one in Huambalo with two stories, was so luxurious that people compared it to a palace. Besides being a very powerful man, Don Vico was extraordinarily lucky and had the gift of healing. Nevertheless, he was better known in the town as a tight-fisted, ambitious, and merciless man. It is said that as a child, he had once played marbles with an imp and had not been satisfied until he won the shirt off the poor demon's back. He was also the town's chorquero, or moneylender. Whenever anyone needed money and had possessions to use as collateral, he would immediately lend it. But he was also a ruthless collector and would never forgive a single penny of interest. His only weakness was women. For the touch of a woman, he was capable of forgetting a debt that he would not have forgiven even for his own daughters. In his youth, Don Vico had been a poor devil without a penny to his name, always mixed up in gambling debts or troubles with women. Nevertheless, one day, he all of a sudden began to get rich. At first, he would appear in the Huambalo parks at night, dressed in fine clothes, silver-tipped cowboy boots, with a big gold chains around his neck. Later, he appeared with a thoroughbred horse that was the envy of everyone. At parties, he would spend money like water, but he never seemed to run out because he always won at cards or when betting on cockfights. His good luck seemed magical. When any traveling carnival came into town, it was usually ruined by the second day, because Vico would bankrupt the roulette table and win all the bills and bottles at the ring toss, and walk off with every last prize from the games of chance. When they read the palm of his hand, the carnies would pack up their tents and leave to try their fortune elsewhere, where no one else had purchased his fate. People said that Don Vico was so lucky because he had made a pact with the devil. Contemporaries of Don Vico said that his good fortune began one night, long ago, at the festival of the nearby town called El Pingüe. Vico, very drunk and infatuated with a young woman, got separated from his group of friends. The others returned to Huambalo very late that night, but he did not appear home until the next day, with a ghastly appearance that moved others to pity and fear. His body was bruised, his clothes were in tatters, and on his face a terrified look, as if he had seen something from another world. They said that in his fist he carried a single gold coin. The old men of the town claimed that the coin had been given to Vico by the devil, and that it was thanks to the coin that Vico had acquired all that he owned, from the properties to the livestock, to his gift of healing, his women, and his daughters. Although everyone talked about this mysterious coin, no one had ever seen it except for his family on that fateful morning. They said that on two different occasions, robbers had gotten into Don Vico's house and turned the entire place upside down in a vain attempt to find the magical coin. Don Vico's eight daughters, from five different women, used to play at trying to find the devil's coin when they were little girls, but they never found it. The girls said that the legend was an old wives' tale, that their ruthless father had made his money by robbing and exploiting those around him. His two eldest daughters were from Carmela, the love of his life. He met her in El Pingüe, at the festival of the Virgin of the Mountain. Don Vico would always remember that love came to him in the midst of laughter and awkward blunders, like a joke. He had already had more than a few drinks when suddenly, among the lights of the dance and the contagious music of the band, his attention was drawn to a young woman wearing a white shawl with her hair done up in a bun. Smitten, he went to ask her to dance. but he was so dizzy with alcohol that he tripped and fell while still 2 steps from her. From the floor, he asked her to dance and asked her to help him up. The girl only laughed and extended her hand. He never heard whether she agreed to dance with him or not, but just the same, he began dancing his best moves. It didn't last, however, because just then, a young man, sturdy as a tree and with a grim face, stood in front of Vico. It was Carmela's boyfriend. Before he knew it, Vico was fighting the jealous tree of a man. He could barely stand. His friends had left, and he couldn't escape because he didn't remember where he had left his horse. With one black eye and his mind on the laughter of the girl with the bun, Vico started to stumble his way back to Huambalo, alone and on foot. What happened next was vague. Along the lonely trail he remembered like a hallucination, the image of a man dressed in a black suit who offered him a gold coin in exchange for his soul. Don Vico never told anyone about that meeting. He returned to El Pingue on the pretext of looking for his horse. He didn't find it, but, after asking around a bit, was able to locate the house of the beautiful young woman with the bun. It was on that occasion when he felt for the first time his new supernatural good fortune. When he got to the house, which was surrounded by a grove of fruit trees, he found Carmela picking some mandarin oranges all by herself. At the sight of her, the same awkwardness of the night before took over Vico again. He tried to greet her with an elegant bow, but he didn't see the irrigation channel behind him. His foot sank into the ditch, and he fell for a second time. He looked wet and ridiculous. Carmela recognized him and laughed happily. "You are very good at falling," she said. He introduced himself, excused himself for falling twice, and tried to get away from there as soon as he could, completely embarrassed. When he took off his hat to say goodbye, it flew out of his hands, as if by magic, and fell into the ditch. This time she couldn't control her laughter, and they sat down together on the grass under the avocado tree. He set his hat out to dry and began to talk with Carmelo enthusiastically, when a ripe fruit fell from the tree, crushing his hat. "Your life seems dangerous," Carmela commented. They fell in love there, in the midst of laughter and Vico's clumsiness. He went to visit her 2 more times, bringing her first a gold necklace that he found hanging on a tree branch, and later with 2 ruby earrings that appeared with no explanation in the pocket of his shirt. Blushing, she refused to accept the gift. She did, however, laugh heartily when he accidentally sat on a spiny branch, and when he lost 1 shoe in some pomegranate vines, and when, in the patio of her home, an old duck chased him around until it had given him a good peck. On the 3rd visit, Carmela began to have confusing feelings and told him she didn't want to see him anymore. She changed her mind the next day when he brought her a farewell gift. This time, it was not jewels, but a small, ugly animal with a bad temper, a small saino, a peccary, which he had found on the trail, and whose attempts at fierceness provoked great laughter. It was at that moment that she decided to break up with her boyfriend and spend her life with Vico. Don Vico remembered his years with Carmela as very happy, fortunate ones. He had it all. A wife who loved him, 2 sweet little girls, and the world in the palm of his hand, if he so wished. He even had the gift of healing. The gift of healing came out of nowhere, like everything else he desired. On 1 occasion, an aunt who had been maleada and was drying up. A healer from Palileo had discovered the enchantment and did some preliminary cleansing, but told the family she needed 2 more treatments, which should be done by a person of strong character. Vico was selected to do the job, and he accepted more out of curiosity than anything else. While cleansing the spirit of his aunt with a bunch of strong herbs, exaggerating his gestures, he suddenly felt something like a cold breeze leave the sick woman's body. His aunt got much better immediately, so much so that the color returned to her face, she asked for something to eat, and she got back to her work on her daily chores. The 3rd cleansing was not even necessary. So, despite skepticism at his own abilities, he discovered that he had the gift of healing. He could fix any broken bone or spirit with his herbs. When he felt that cold current of air, he knew that the patient was cured. When he couldn't feel the breeze, All he had to do was close his eyes and concentrate, and the names of plants and unknown products would pop into his mind. He would then order infusions or broths be made from these healing plants. The patients would become well soon after, as if he had cured them with his own hands. Of course, there were occasions when, despite his efforts, he could not feel the cool breeze, and no names of plants popped into his head. He knew then that the fate of the patient was set in stone. On those occasions, he would talk to the family alone and tell them to buy a coffin, still demanding payment for the cleansing. Only on one occasion did he ever curse his gift and give in to a sense of impotence in the face of death. On this occasion, his wife had a slight headache. Arrogant and presumptuous, Vico went to give her a cleansing, but he did not feel the cold breeze. He smiled nervously. Without losing his cool, he closed his eyes and concentrated. His mind, however, remained blank, despite several attempts. When she saw his distress, Carmela understood what would happen and consoled him with a look of resignation. He fell onto her body and broke into sobs, refusing to let go of her like a desperate child who doesn't want to be separated from his mother. Carmelo died soon after. His life lost meaning from that day forward. Money meant nothing to him but something to waste. He wandered around the streets like a lost soul. He returned to the bad habits of his youth, spending his time in bars and gambling halls. Unsociable and resentful of the whole world, even of his sweet daughters, he would do healings only when he felt like it. It took him a long time to recover, but when he finally did, he became even more ambitious and overbearing, arbitrarily making and breaking the lives of those around him. It seemed as if his only goal was to accumulate as much wealth, drink, and women as possible. He married 4 more times, every time to young women of remarkable beauty. He seduced all of them with money, and each time, things ended badly. The first 2 were thrown out of his house. The 3rd one died because he was so abusive, and the 4th one ran off with another man. When the townsfolk heard of the couple's escape, they said amongst themselves that no matter where they hid, their days were numbered. But Don Vico let them go, since he felt a little grateful to the young man who had saved him from the woman. Besides, he was beginning to feel old. He decided at that time that she would be the last woman he would ever bring to his bed, that it was more strategic to go and fight his battles in the beds of the enemy, as it were. When old age finally began to dampen his spirit, he realized that in spite of all his possessions, all he really had was the memory of Carmela, 8 daughters who had been born and grew up almost without him realizing it, and a debt to be paid on the day of his death. He aged greatly in the last year of his life, and it became obvious that the end was near. While as a young man he had been fat and tan and robust, in old age he became skinny, pale, and jaundiced. Reflecting on his face was the heavy burden he carried, but he did not give in easily and constantly struggled against his fear of dying. He attempted to get closer to his daughters, but they had their own lives by then and were little inclined to spend much time with a man who had barely known of their existence before. In a desperate attempt to surround himself with people on the final day of his life, he began doing his miraculous cures free of charge. This comforted him, even though his intuition told him that the time to pay his debt was near. The first time he knew that death was going to win the struggle was when a tendakuchi, a black butterfly of evil tidings, appeared in his room. From that day forward, both floors of his home were covered by the repulsive insects. Don Vico chased them from room to room, batting at them with a broom, and in the process destroying many of the luxuries he had acquired in life. He killed them all every day, but in the morning they were back. In every corner, on the walls, and in between the finely worked tiles of the roof. While the servants said that surely someone was going to die, he didn't listen and continued whacking butterflies, determined to keep death out of his home. One day he awoke with a tendakuchi perched on his face. It shocked him so much that he left his home and swore never to return to that bug-infested place. That afternoon, feeling like having a little fun, he went to a festival in the town of La Merced, which is not far from Huambalo. The music, the booze, and a good dance partner cheered him up, and he forgot about his scare that morning. He was dancing and laughing and having a great time when suddenly he felt the cool current of air, that which usually emanates from the sick people he was healing, pass violently through his own body. It was like being stung by a whip that passed right through the skin to strike into his living flesh. In that instant, his breathing faltered, and he saw a man dressed in a black suit smiling at him wickedly. Don Vico made a half turn and dropped dead on the spot. More than 100 people attended his wake, most of them drawn by the old tale about the dead man having made a deal with the devil. In the morning, when the church ladies finished praying the rosary, a strong wind blew in from the outside of town. In a moment, the house began to tremble and all the lights went out. All was silence and shadows. Horrible shouts were heard in the darkness. When the lights went back on, the mourners all saw with amazement that Don Vico's body had disappeared. All that remained at the bottom of his coffin were his clothes, and on top of them, a single gold coin. Some of the farmers of the town of Cotalo, located in the foothills of Langinatis, claimed that on that morning, while they lit their fires to protect their potato crop from the frost, they saw a man in a black suit on a horse in the distance. They said that the horseman, galloping through the air and dragging behind him, kicking and screaming horribly, a naked man, was the most terrifying thing they had ever seen. The farmers crossed themselves for the sake of that damned man, dragged away by the devil. They soon lost sight of the horse among the mountains. The end. And with that, the story of Vico comes to an end. We have seen him as a young boy, a grown man, and finally entering old age. I hope that the story serves as a warning, as I'm sure it originally did, that life is fleeting, and the important thing is the people around you. Do not be Vico. Hug on your loved ones and be kind. And thank you again to Señor Mario Conde for letting me record his lovely ghost tales. I am forever in his debt. If you like these stories, I recommend that you buy his book, as there are a ton of footnotes and the original Spanish version in the book as well. And as always, thank you to the Ecuadorian people and to the Pesante family, whom I love very much. Muchas gracias y buenas noches. Happy Halloween. Thank you and good night.